I have to share with you just how encouraged I am this morning and how excited I am for what God has laid on my heart to share with you as we continue to worship Him this morning. If you have a Bible with you, I invite you to turn to Mark 4, Mark chapter 4. If you don't have a scripture with you and you want one, there's a table in the back there where we have some Bibles at your disposal, and you can go ahead and grab one. They're going to be there every week from now on, and if you don't have a Bible of your own, just take the one you pick up with you. We want you to have one. I believe that if you get into the Word's going to get into you, and so we want to make sure that you have the ability to do that. But we're going to be in Mark 4 today. Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 26. I'm going to read this aloud, and then we're going to talk about it and see what God wants to share with us. So Mark chapter 4, I'm really hot. Sorry. That's not in here, no. I was talking to the sound guys, and boy, I should really think before I speak. Whew. We're going to try to come back from that one. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Jesus is speaking here, and this is his words. And then he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Let's pray. Father, we're just so thankful that you've gathered us here this morning, that we have the ability to meet freely, and that we can hear about you and sit at your feet and hear the teaching of your Son, Jesus. Lord, put away the distractions this morning that are in our hearts and our heads. Allow us to enter into what you want to do here this morning. We invite, Holy Spirit, you're here. I invite you into our hearts. Awaken our minds. Give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, and hands and feet to put into action so that this message this morning can influence our Monday and the rest of our week. Lord, we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever had to wait a long time for something? Anything? Yeah, most of us have. I mean, waiting is a kind of a natural human experience. This year, our kids got to practice some waiting. We actually, for the first time ever, my wife and I had found ourselves in several amusement parks throughout the year. And if you know anything about amusement parks, there's a lot of waiting. The rides are really fast and the waiting's really long. In fact, this summer we went on a family vacation with my side of the family. We were at Busch Gardens, and you know, some of those waits were like 30 to 45 minutes. And when you have kids that are used to everything being immediate, it can be a very trying time for that waiting. But you know, the best part about waiting at an amusement park is you can actually see the line moving ahead. Like, you know, you could say, okay, well, we're halfway there, or we're almost the whole way there. Or, you know, if you go to Disney World, they actually have little clocks halfway through that say, if you're here, the wait is so long after this point. You know, they want to let you know that there is a wait, but you know that there's an end in sight. You know, one of the other waitings that I've had in my life is just naturally waiting for our children to be birthed, to come. I know we have a lot of pregnancy going on in the church right now, which is great. I purposely have told Jessica not to drink any of the water while she's here on Sunday mornings. We're celebrating with you, but there's waiting. And, you know, the waiting, and that's nice too, because, like, you can kind of see some progress. The progress gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and, you know, eventually you know that the time's going to come, and it's really exciting. You see an end in sight. But what if the waiting is more difficult than that? What if you're here this morning and you're waiting for something and you don't see the end? In fact, you don't feel any progress at all. It just feels like you're waiting. You're waiting for things to get better. You're waiting for something to change. You're waiting for someone to change, and you don't see it. You don't see it getting any better. In fact, you're weighted by waiting for something to change. On top of that, what if I was to tell you today, what if I was to say to you, you know, whatever you're waiting for or whatever you're burdened by this morning, it's not going to get better. What if I told you that as a community, as a country, as a human being, we've peaked? This is the best it's ever going to get. It's not going to get any better. Poverty and people starving, it's never going to get better. It's already been the best it's going to be, and people are just going to be more and more in poverty in the way forward. What if I told you that politics and the way that we see the divisions in this country, that we've peaked and our unity peaked a long time ago, and this country's just going to become more and more divided as we move forward in history? What if I told you that whatever you're waiting for, maybe your relationships, maybe a marriage, if that's you're struggling in your marriage right now, and I'm going to tell you that your marriage has peaked. It's never going to get better. In fact, it's only going to get worse. What if I told you that spiritually, your struggle against sin, your desire to grow in your faith isn't ever going to get better? You've just peaked. And if you're waiting, if you're leaning in for that to get better, it's not going to happen. What if I told you sickness, education, violence, war, it's all going to get worse. It's never going to get better. So stop waiting. There's no end in sight. How would that make you feel? How would the waiting feel in that moment? If there's no end, if there's no clear picture of it getting better, there's no hope. Am I right? There's no purpose almost. If you can't see it getting better, it's almost like there's not even a purpose in being here. You know, the funny thing is that that's obviously not true. The message we just sung about, what Jesus is talking about this morning, is that in the waiting, there is something so much better, even now during the wait and in what's to come. But Jesus knew, I think he knew, that all of us have a propensity when we watch the news, when we're struggling, when we're in the middle of whatever it is that we're struggling with, what we're waiting for. He knew that our hearts could get to the place where we no longer have any hope, where we can begin to convince ourselves that we did peak, that it's not going to get any better, that the world's not going to get any better. Jesus knew this could happen, and so he did something. He did something I talked about last week. We're going to be talking about throughout this entire series. I'm not going to say it again. He told us to imagine it being differently. He told us to imagine a world like this. He told us to imagine that it is going to get better, not because it's some imaginary place, but because he wanted to awaken our minds to a reality that even though we may not see the line progressing, even though we may not see it getting better, that it's going to get better. And the way he invited us to imagine this picture of this world, the way he invited us to see that there is a different place, was to tell us stories about what that place looked like. He said it like this. He said, the kingdom of God is like this. And each time he did it, though we often read them as parables, though we often read them as stories, though we often read them as illustrations, Jesus was actually inviting us to see something different. That in the midst of life, to imagine the place that he was speaking of, that he was pointing to, that there was a better life, that there was a better place, that there was a better world, a realm, a place where God was in charge, where God was king, where everything was subject to him, and the world truly was as it should be. He said, this is a reality. This is a real place. This is a real thing. And if you would just imagine, and if you would allow your heart and your head and your ears and your eyes to see it, to hear it, to experience it, then regardless of where you are in the middle, you can know that there is hope in the end. Imagine a world like this. And so he told parables. He told stories that would awaken our hearts to be aligned to his kingdom, to his reality that's even at work today. And this parable we have this morning is no different. In verse 26, Mark starts out, I lost it. Can we go to the next slide? Next one. In verse 26, Mark starts telling us that Jesus shared this parable. He said, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter the seed on the ground. The kingdom of God, this place that he's inviting us to imagine, is if a man's just scattered seed on a ground. And this parable that we're about to read, that we're about to go through, is smashed in Mark's gospel right in between two others. There's the parable of the sower that we're going to talk about in a few weeks, where God talks about the soil in which the seed lands. And then right after this, Jesus shares about another seed, the mustard seed, where he says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And right in between this, and this is only found in Mark's gospel, Mark gives us a recount of Jesus' teaching where he talks about the seed itself. He says, a man scatters a seed on the ground, and that seed is the kingdom of God. It's this other place. It's this place where things should be. And it's as if the man would scatter the seed on the ground, and the man, he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, but he knows not how. Mark points to the fact that the man's not active in this, that the seed, while the man's going about his daily life, while he goes to sleep and he wakes up, the seed is growing, and the man doesn't even know how. There's no ability spoken about on the man's part for the seed growing. The seed has this way of just producing on its own, and he doesn't even know how. It tells us that the seed, the kingdom of God, is quiet. It's continuous. It's moving. It's doing something all along as we are going through our daily lives, and we don't even know how it works, but what is true is that it's going to sprout and grow. Its growing is inevitable. It's going to happen. That's what Jesus says. This kingdom is inevitable. There's nothing we can do to help it. There's nothing we can do to stop it. As time goes, as the man goes to bed and he wakes up in the daytime, it goes on, and we don't need to be anxious about it. We don't even have to worry during the struggle that it's not going to come, that it's not going to get better, that things aren't going to change, because the truth is that the seed's going to bear fruit. It's going to do it. It's going to come. And no matter what the circumstances in the middle of, it's going to grow, but we don't know how. The only thing that we know about is the conditions, that the soil, if it's right, if it's ready, if it can receive it, it will grow. And so Jesus goes on in verse 28, and he says this. He says, the earth produces by itself. First the blade, we know how things grow, right? The blade comes up through the soil, then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear. It produces by itself. Once again, pointing to our human activity not being part of it. That it's something the seed does on its own. You know, by itself, produces by itself. In the Greek language, which is what the New Testament was originally written in the Greek language, this by itself is one word. It's the word automate. What does that sound like? Automatic. Jesus says this seed, this kingdom is automatic. It's inevitable. It's unstoppable. And there's nothing you and I can do to bring it on. It's going to happen. And it's not about our ability or our inability in the middle of the wait or in the middle of whatever we're dealing with. It has nothing to do with that. It's one thing only, that the seed, the kingdom of God, is effective and it's powerful and it is moving in this world. God is doing something, folks, and it's unstoppable. That's what Jesus is saying. And he goes on and he says that the blade, then the ear, then the full grain, that there's this process, that there's this passing of time that's going to happen. And we may not be able to see it. We may not even know what's going on. But there is a process in the kingdom of God coming to fullness. That's why he talks about the process of the blade and the ear and the grain. I believe what Jesus is saying is that we know from the beginning of Mark chapter 1, the Gospel of Mark, Jesus walks on the scenes, and the first words of Jesus in red in Mark chapter 1, he walks on the scene and he says, the time is at hand, the kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe and hear this good news. He says, I've planted something, I am sowing my seed, and it came when I came. And the power, your ability to have access to it, to join in it, came when I defeated what we just sang about. When I defeated death, I went into a grave, I rose again, and death was defeated. And now if you have faith in that, you receive the first fruits of this kingdom in your own life. It's called the Holy Spirit. And in the meantime, as that blade's coming up, as my kingdom is growing, there's going to be a fullness that's coming. There's going to be an end. And in the meantime, it's going to be growing. It's going to be working. It's going to be automatic. It's going to be unstoppable. And it's moving right now, whether you see it or not, whether you take part in it or not, whether you feel like you're able to be a part of it or not. The kingdom of God doesn't rely on you. It only relies on one thing, the will of God. And it is here, and it is moving, and it's going to grow up to a full grain in the near. And as this time passes, but from the time that Jesus went to heaven to the time that he returns, this kingdom is moving. And Jesus goes on, and he says this in verse 29. He says, but the grain, when the grain is ripe, when it's ready, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. You see, this seed, the seed that was planted, this kingdom of God, has an end. It's a harvest. It's coming. It's going to be here. There will be an end in sight, and it will be better than any of us can imagine. So Jesus is basically saying to us in this parable, imagine a world like this. Imagine a place like this. Imagine, let your mind and your heart grasp a hold of this, that God is at work in the world right now. That his kingdom is present, and it is moving, and it is unstoppable, and it is growing, and it is inviting people in. And as it's moving and as it's going, it's pointing each and every person who has eyes to see and ears to hear that there is a better place. That what you see is not all that there is, and that there is a better world, a better life. There is a place, the kingdom of God, where if your hearts are pointed to it, you can be part of it. And at one point, at the end of everything, when it's fully ripe, it's going to come. And the fullness of what does it look like to imagine a world where God's in charge and everything's the way it should be will be here. Imagine a world like this. Each moment that you're walking through life and you don't see the end. Imagine a world like this. It's like a seed that's planted. So what do we do with this? How do we apply this? How does this help us in the waiting? How does this help us in those times where we feel like it's not going to get any better? Like we peaked. I think the first thing we need to know is this, that God's kingdom is present and at work. It's like a man that spread a seed. And you know what? If God's kingdom is present and at work right now, if it's at work right now, then there's things that we can do. We can experience it, we can invite it, and we can join in. You know how we experience it? Is that we lean into it. In the Gospel of John, Jesus tells us that his Father's the vine dresser, and he's the vine, and if we would just abide, if we would remain, if we would lean in, if we would allow him, if we would allow our hearts to be soil, and we would allow him to spread his seed into our lives, that we would produce fruit, that we would have peace. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, tells us in Galatians 5:22 what that fruit looks like. It's not the fruit of our own work. It's not the fruit of our own energy. It's not our ability. No. That when we lean into his kingdom, when we allow his teaching to transform our hearts, we produce love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. That this fruit of the kingdom can be birthed in each and every one of us. And it's at work. And he wants you to experience it. Paul in chapter 2 of Philippians puts it this way. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, but don't forget, it is God who is working in you. It's not you. It's God who's working in you. His kingdom, he's spreading the seed. It's working in you to fill you and to give you the work, to work according to his purpose. We can experience, we can invite it. Do you know when Jesus taught us to pray, he said, and pray this, and then one part of his prayer, he says, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. When he taught us to pray, he said we actually should invite every single day. God, I want more of your kingdom. I want to see what's at work. I want to see it in my life. I want to see it in my family. I want to see it in my school. I want to see it in my heart. I pray every single day, Heavenly Father, your kingdom come, your will be done, and please let it first begin in me. We can invite it, folks. It's active and it's moving and it's here and it's present. We can say to ourselves, Lord, in Luke 11:13, Jesus also tells us that if we ask the Father for more of the Holy Spirit, he will give it. Remember that story? He says, how many of you who aren't good, if your son says, give me a loaf of bread, would give me a stone, or if he would, says, give me a fish, would give him a serpent? How much more then do you think your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Folks, the Holy Spirit is present, and he has work in the kingdom of God, the reality of what it means to live when you feel like nothing could ever get better, into a place where your heart, your head, your ears, your eyes see that it will get better, and in fact, God is moving and working in that moment right then, is something you can have access to if you would just invite it. It also means we can join in. It also means we can join in. It means that God's seed that he had spread, that's producing itself, that's automatically growing, that's unstoppable, is actually active everywhere we go, every single day of the week. And he's inviting you. He's saying to you, please, come and join in. Open your eyes to see where I'm at work in the life of your coworker and join in because you've got the best news they could ever hear. Look at where I'm at work in your school because you've got the greatest news there possibly could be. Open your eyes to see it and join in. Paul tells us that, you know, some water, some plant, but God produces the fruit and you have the opportunity to join in. God's kingdom's at work. It's automatically here. It's already moving. But it also means that we have confidence that despite what our appearances are, that God's at work. Can anybody get through a news program these days and not feel like it's not ever going to get better? I mean, am I the only one that sometimes looks at a week's worth of news and thinks to themselves, man, we've peaked? Right? But what Jesus says in this parable is we have confidence that despite the appearances, that God's at work, that his kingdom's moving, that it's going somewhere, that it's producing fruit, that a blade's coming up and fruit is ripening, and that he is at work. It's automatic and it has nothing to do with you and me. It has nothing to do with our ability to see it or not. It's automatic, it's effective, it's unstoppable, and it's calling people to change, and it's calling people to see things the way that God sees them. And you folks, here's the thing. If you need to hear this morning, I believe somebody needs to hear this morning, that in the middle of the waiting, in the middle of all of this, it is not about your circumstances. It's not about how you see things with your eyes. It's about the truth of God's promises, that there is an end in sight, and he will restore all things. And if you would just allow him to move in your heart right now, he would show you that he in fact still is Lord and is still working. It can bring healing and truth and power to where you're at. It's not about what we see. It's about the confidence that we believe that God is effective and at work. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith in that, believe in this place, this kingdom that's at work in the lives of each and every one of us in the world right now, faith in that is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. We may not be able to see it. The man doesn't know what's happening. He's going through his day. He's sleeping and he's waking up, and yet the kingdom is still growing. The writer of Hebrews tells us later, he talks about, in Hebrews 11, I encourage you to read it this week, he talks about all these spiritual giants throughout the history of the Old Testament. All these people that just believed this. They believed that despite the circumstances, God was at work, that he was moving, that he was in control. And they did incredible things, and we have half of our scriptures has their stories. And yet the writer of Hebrews tells us that they never actually saw the end. They didn't get the light at the middle of the waiting and at Disney World that says only 15 minutes left. They actually never saw the end. But you know what? They still had faith because they believed not in their circumstances but in a Savior. Not in what was going on in their life but that God was already at work. Folks, listen to me. You have the ability, if you would believe what Jesus is trying to get you to imagine, to have that view with whatever you're dealing with this day. Whatever you're dealing with this week, that despite what you see, but despite what you feel, and boy, can our feelings lie to us, that God's at work. He is, and he's present. The This addresses the problem of why we sometimes don't see things the way that we want to see them. And things don't appear like God's at work, that God's moving. We say, where was God? God's present and he is active. And the reasons to answer that question are a sermon for another day. But we can rest our faith in this, that he's moving. And there's nothing we can do to miss that. And finally, this parable ends with the truth that a harvest is coming. That this kingdom is going to come to fruition. That this kingdom that we see and sometimes we miss, this kingdom that we're present in and sometimes we don't see it, this kingdom that will be a place where God's in control, where everything is as it should be, is coming. And when it comes, it's going to be amazing. And in the meantime, God is at work and waiting until it's fully ripened. There's an end, folks. There's an end. And our eyes can see it, and our hearts can be attuned to the reality that his kingdom is coming. And that's a hope that we who are in Christ have. We do. I love the fact that God gave John, the Apostle John, a vision of this. Because in my life, so many times I've needed it. So many times I've said, you know what, Lord, in my circumstances, in my emotions, in my feelings, if this is all that there is, if we've peaked, then I can't go on. But God gave John a vision for it. God said to John, I'm going to show you, I'm going to reveal to you what this harvest looks like. And in Revelation 21, he says this. John tells us what he saw. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth because the first heaven and first earth had passed away. The harvest was coming and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God like a bride adorned for her husband. Don't miss this. If you know this, don't miss this. Allow this hope to enter your heart this morning. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them, and he will be their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. No more grief. No more crying, no more pain. These things have passed away. No more heartache. No more cancer. No more relationship problems. No more people walking into synagogues shooting people. No more nut jobs sending bombs. No more people treating people like dirt because their color of their skin's differently. No more pain in our life because we hurt each other and we don't even know why, but we say things and we do things that cause damage. It's all going to go away, and one day there is going to be a place where God's kingdom comes to full harvest, and he's going to change everything. And then it says this, then the one seated from the throne said, look, I am making all things new. This is what we have. This is why we sing. This is why we're here. And in the middle of this time, when the seed is being spread, where the seed has taken root, where the seed is growing. And sometimes it feels like we've peaked. Sometimes it feels like we're waiting and we can't see the end. God says through Jesus Christ, while he was here, that though this seed has been spread and though we don't see it, it's growing. Though we don't know how it's coming, it's growing. We can't do anything to stop it. We can't do anything to help it. It's automatic. And you know what? At one point, there's going to be a harvest. And then he's going to say, I am making all things new. And you know what, folks? If you're here this morning and you've never heard this, that new that can begin in you right now today. That his Holy Spirit is active and at work, and if you've never received the reality of the kingdom of God in your life, Jesus wants to say, I died on a cross for you, and if you would receive this, if you would allow me to place my spirit in you, if you would allow your life to be aligned to the teachings of this kingdom, you would allow yourself to become part of this kingdom, of this movement, then you would begin to be able to live every single day as if this was your reality, and you would be able to stand in your circumstances and say, it's not my circumstances that matter because I believe that the kingdom of God is automatic, unstoppable, and moving, and is changing me, and he's going to make all things new, and he's beginning in me right now. And because of that, you and I can stand firm and be completely different than what this world is offering. We can be a voice. We can go to people in our daily lives and we can say, I have something incredible to tell you. Imagine a world like this. Imagine a world where there's no crying, where there's no weeping, where there's no pain, where there's no struggle. Imagine a world like this, because if you can imagine it, let me tell you something. It's real. And it's here. And it's active. And it's moving. And it's unstoppable. And it's unreliant on us. And it's the greatest news there ever was. And you want to know why I can act the way I act? You want to know why I can love the way I love? You know the why I can stand in the midst of my struggle and pain and still know there's a better end in sight? Because it lives in me. Folks, this is good news. Are you ready to live it? Are you ready to live it this week? Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you've given us the greatest news. I thank you for your presence here this morning, Lord. Lord, I thank you that your kingdom, your power, and your glory is something that we can experience. And Lord, for those of us who haven't been leaning into you to experience it in our lives each and every day, Holy Spirit, empower us to do that this week. Give us the power to lean in and grab a hold of that vine and just remain there so that your Spirit can produce fruit in our lives. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you that we can invite this reality into our lives. Lord, for those of us that haven't been inviting it, Lord, bring to our hearts and minds each and every day this week, Heavenly Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and Father, let it begin in me today. Lord, I thank you that we can join in. That you've said your mission, your plan for this world is that if we would have eyes to see and ears to hear, that we would be able to see you at work, see this seed growing, and that we would be able to step in and be Jesus for somebody this week. Help us do that, Lord. Help us do that. Lord, I'm so thankful that we have confidence in you, that despite our circumstances, we have a Savior. Lord, for someone here today who's stuck in a situation, in a waiting, they don't feel like there's an end, Lord, just speak hope into their life and let them know they have confidence that you are at work and that we have hope that a harvest is coming. Lord, let us have hope in this harvest, not that we become so heavenly minded that we become no earthly good, Lord, but that we would have hope that there is a better way, there is a better place, and there is a place where God is king and God is at work and everything is as it should be, and that place is what we are to embody every single day of our lives. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be your people in the world. And that when people would see us, they would see that we are citizens of another place. And they would want to find out what that place is and why we act the way we do and why we serve and love and why we believe in this Jesus that came, our King and our Lord. We'd be able to invite them in. Finally, Father, I'm so thankful that this isn't up to us. That this isn't about our ability or inability. No, it's about the kingdom's effectivity. Lord, help us to be your people that would rest on these promises as we would imagine a world like this. You're so good. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been so good to be with you all this morning. I hope that you will come back next week. If you were a guest again, we'd love to meet you. I'd love to meet you. Hit the welcome desk on your way out. Come back next week and we'll continue our series. Imagine. God bless you. Have a great day.